It's the Central Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Ornithologist David Sibley is a celebrity when it comes to all things birds. He's written several books documenting his findings throughout the United States, including the Sibley Guide to Bird Life and Behavior and the Sibley Field Guide to Birds of Eastern North America. The second edition of that book is just out, or soon to be. On July 14th, Mr. Sibley will speak as part of the Pittsburgh Arts and Lecture Summer Series, and he joins us now to talk about his career writing about birds and how he feels about being a rock star in the birding community. David Sibley, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
You've been writing and illustrating bird guides for many years now. What continues to inspire you about birds?
I think birds are just endlessly fascinating, and there's always something new to discover at all kinds of levels. So it's the idea that, you know, as we're talking and everybody who's listening, you don't know what birds are in your yard right now. You have to go look, and somebody is going to walk and look in their yard and see something different, something unusual. You just never know. With the birds, they're so sort of magical, the way they appear and disappear and move around so easily. So it turns any a city park or a backyard or a wildlife refuge becomes, at least in that sense, sort of a wilderness, an unexplored place. Every single day it's new. Every hour is new. There's something new to see, something to discover.
Your father was an ornithologist. Did you want to get into birding on your own, or did his work inspire your interest?
I never know what the initiative was. I've been interested in birds, I think, for myself from a very early age. And so even as a five-year-old, I enjoyed drawing pictures of birds. And the fact that our bookshelves at home were covered with books about birds, when I wanted to draw a picture of a bird, I could just pull a book off the shelf and there were all kinds of cool birds to look at. And once I showed an interest, my father could open up all kinds of opportunities for me. We, you know, went on trips and did things with museums, and I just had all kinds of opportunities for bird study that wouldn't have been available to me without having an ornithologist for a father. So it was kind of I think my own interest was genuine, but having an ornithologist for a father was obviously a huge advantage.
As an illustrator who also educates, how much time does it take to research each bird and its variations before you actually can draw it?
Oh, that's hard to put into a simple number. I spent pretty much my whole life studying birds, and I still learn new things all the time. So to do the paintings in the original Sibley Guide to Birds, the book that came out in the year 2000, it covers all the birds found in North America, north of Mexico. And so that book, it took me, it was probably 12 years of pretty much full-time traveling and watching and sketching birds in the field, just learning about them. And doing research, and back in the studio, it took 6 years of painting and writing to produce the final draft of the book. But when I sit down to do a painting, it's usually a few hours, anywhere from 3 hours to 8 or 10 hours of planning and reading to sort of pull together all the information that I need to put into a painting of that species, and then 8 to 12 hours to paint all of the images that would go on a page in the book. So a couple days' work, at least, of planning and painting to produce one page, the illustrations that would appear on one page in the book.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is ornithologist David Sibley. His latest book is The Sibley Field Guide to Birds of Eastern North America, second edition. He's with us by phone from Concord, Massachusetts. Let's talk about your new book, the second edition of the Sibley Field Guide to Birds of Eastern North America. What will folks find in there?
Yeah, it's it came out this spring, 2016, and it uses all of the illustrations from the big North American guide, the Sibley Guide to Birds, but covers only the species that are found regularly in eastern North America. So it's makes it a little bit easier to deal with. Not quite as many species, and it's pocket size. What I try to do in the field guide is present anywhere from, say, 6 to 12 or 8, even 18 images of a single species to try to show all the different variations of that species. And I try to show every species in flight as well as perched. So you get all the different angles and different variations in the illustrations. And then there's room for a field guide. It's really a tricky book to produce because there's such a limited amount of space and a huge amount of information that you want to put in. So I'm limited to a couple hundred words for each species and try to pick and choose the key things to highlight the identifying features and make it easy for people to recognize the bird when they run across it. So this book is kind of the pocket-sized, really concise version of the Guide to Birds.
Explain interviewing the bird during your observations.
Yeah, that's a comparison that I make because I started out, and people often ask me if I consider myself a birder or an artist first. And for me, the two things have always gone together. That I started drawing birds when I was 5 years old, and it's always been two parts of the same thing. For me, and drawing is actually my way of studying the birds and learning about them. It's a process that forces you to look at the bird in more detail and more depth. I compare it to sort of conducting an interview, a very one-sided interview, but. If you want to do a drawing of a bird, you have to look at it and sort of consciously ask questions about all aspects of the bird and then look at the bird to find the answers. But questions like, what shape is the head? What shape is the bill? What size is the bill relative to the head? Where is the eye relative to the bill? How does the head connect to the body? What shape does that take? How long is the neck, etc.? And you just go through the entire body of the bird asking those questions about shape and posture and how the color patterns and markings fit into that shape. And its sketching is just a sort of a structure or a process of asking those questions and searching for the answers. And as you do that, you learn a tremendous amount about how it acts, how it moves, its shape from different angles. And all of those things were really a key to the things that I learned about birds and then was able to later put into the field guide. But it all begins with that process of just asking questions and looking at a bird and taking the time to think about it and interview it.
Did you ever have the sense that a bird sensed your presence and didn't mind, maybe knew that it was being watched and seemed to be somehow going along with your process?
Birds will get used to you pretty quickly if you just sit quietly. You definitely, and any hunter, any outdoors person will know that feeling when you first walk into a place, a scene, the birds and animals are very alert to your presence and nervous and not sure. Well, sometimes they do just leave. Sometimes they're not sure whether they're comfortable with you there. And lots of times, if you just sit quietly, inconspicuously, and watch, they'll gradually get accustomed to you and start going about their normal business. And they'll glance your way once in a while, but they definitely get used to you and sort of accept you as a non-threatening part of the landscape.
The partnership with Audubon helps get your work in the hands of digital users. Describe the process of what it was like to adapt your art for the web.
Yeah, that's a really exciting frontier of all kinds of information technology, especially for me, as it applies to field guides, I think that apps and web-based information is going to be the future of the field guides, and it's really tricky. The book has advantages and disadvantages, and it's easy to make the mistake of looking at the book and thinking that the work is done, that the information has already been created and edited and put into that format, and that all you have to do to create an app or a website is just take that information and reformat it. But it's very, very different. And there's a lot that you can do with an app or a website that you can't do with a book, but there are still things that a book does that electronic media can't. And one of the big things is being able to look at, you flip a book open and you're looking at two pages, and instantly you can scan that whole two pages and see all the images, glance through the text and look for particular information that you're searching for. You see all the range maps. All this information is spread out in front of you, and you can take it in very quickly and then flip the page and move on to the next. Doing that, seeing that much information at once and moving through the information that quickly is just not possible with an app currently or a website. And so a lot of my focus with working on the apps that I've been involved with has been on trying to develop some logical and easy to understand navigation so that people know where the information is. It only takes one tap to get to the information that you want, and it's easy to scroll through and browse through lots of information. But that still, especially on the devices now the size of a smartphone, it's just very, really difficult to get that flow of information into a device that small. And I think that it'll be a while before that aspect of a book is duplicated.
So I'm sure a lot of your fans would like to know, which species of bird is your favorite to illustrate?
I can't really pick a favorite bird. I can tell you that the an interesting angle that some of the birds that I found most difficult to illustrate, or least that I was least happy with the results, are some of the most common species, like American robin and rock pigeon. These birds that I've seen almost every day of my life in thousands of different places. I've sketched them many times. I've studied them. And I think the explanation that I've come up with, that the only real explanation I've been able to think of, is that what I'm trying to do in the field guide is condense all of my experience with species into a few illustrations, so that I try to capture the essence of a bird in 6 or 10 images in the book, and show a real average impression of that species. And for a species that I've only seen a handful of times, it's really easy. I have a very clear a clear idea of what that species looks like. But for something like a robin or a crow or a pigeon, I think my mind is filled with so many different impressions and different images of those species that when I try to condense it into a few illustrations, I don't feel like I've captured it. And I'm trying to put too many different variations, too many different experiences into one illustration, and it comes out, to me at least, always looking a little bit off. Those were some of my least favorite birds to illustrate, for that reason, that I just never felt very satisfied with the results of the species that I know the best turned out to be the hardest to paint.
It's an inexact art, it sounds like, or an elusive one.
Yeah, elusive. I'm almost trying to create a caricature of the species, of each species, to capture the kind of the essential markings and shapes and lines, to make it instantly recognizable without too much detail, and without I don't want to exaggerate the identifying features, but I want them to be obvious. And it's a very subjective and inexact thing that I'm trying to put on paper what's in my mind's eye, essentially, of what I have in my mind as the typical average example of each species. And like I said, when I have a limited amount of experience with a species, and I can think back to individual encounters and days that I spent watching those birds, it's pretty easy for me to convert that into an illustration. Oh. Like a robin, where thousands and thousands of different experiences, it gets too muddy.
Wall Street Journal called you a bird world star. So how does it feel to be a rock star in the birding community, David?
It's still very odd, kind of surreal. I feel like it's something that I'm particularly well-suited for. And, you know, all the years of planning and study for this book, I loved the work. It's exactly what I wanted to do, spending 12 years essentially out in the field just watching birds. A lot of it just alone in the woods, hiking in the mountains, watching birds, studying them, doing sketches. And now the books have been really successful, which is fantastic, but it has sort of thrown me into this much more public world that is very, very far removed from what I started out. It's great. I'm really, really happy that the books are so successful, of course, and very happy that my work is helping a lot of people to introduction to birds.
And the notoriety, you know, it's a good problem to have.
It is, yes.
Ornithologist David Sibley has been my guest. He is speaking in Pittsburgh as part of the Arts and Lecture Summer Series on July 14th. And his latest book, The Sibley Field Guide to Birds of Eastern North America, second edition, came out this spring. David Sibley, thank you for being so generous with your time. We enjoyed talking with you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. If you missed any portion of the program or would like to revisit past segments, you can go to our website at wesa.fm. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.